Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In Michael Schnabel's heartfelt debut memoir, Daddy's Girl, a Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle She Won, Michael chronicles the powerful story of his daughter Stephanie's fight to survive her cancer diagnosis in order to live with her newborn son and Michael's grandson. A story of one family facing the most daunting of circumstances and emotions, celebration of the birth of Stephanie's only child, and 14 days later, her diagnosis of colon cancer, and only an 8% chance of living. Daddy's Girl is a memoir about the challenges and struggles of parenting through a medical crisis. Michael, a graduate of Northern State University, developed his passion for writing and storytelling during his 30-year career at Bristol-Myers Squibb. Daddy's Girl is his first book, and author Michael Schnabel, author of Daddy's Girl, A Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle She Won, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Rick, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you contacting me, and I'm looking forward to the discussion.
This is such an important book and a powerful message, and it's a message that will inspire all of us. And for families going through similar situations, there's hope there from what Stephanie went through, what you went through. Let's start with the basics. How did this develop? An interesting journey from, I guess, a journal in the beginning to actually writing Daddy's Girl. How did this become a book?
Well, in the beginning, my daughter was at 27 years of age. She went ahead and gave birth to our first grandchild, our only grandchild. And the elation and the excitement that went with that was followed up 2 weeks later by the fact that she had stage 4 colon cancer. At that time, my daughter was certainly afraid of dying because they gave her an 8% chance of living. But beyond that, she really was more concerned about leaving this newborn child and not having a mother, as well as never knowing her. As her father, that really spoke to my heart. And so the next day I started recording everything into a journal form so that I could go ahead and try and capture the strength of my daughter, how hard she was fighting to live for this child and for the rest of us in the family. And that's the way it began. The good news is we found some really great people. We worked with the University of Kansas Cancer Center, as well as the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. And when we went to the Mayo Clinic, the doctor there said that he would never be able to tell Stephanie that she was cured. However, 3.5 years later, he did tell her that she was cured. And so that was just exceptional. I mean, it was so exciting, and it was just so surprising to us at that point because we didn't really see it coming that she was to be cured. So we took this journal form then and mentioned it to him that we were going to write this for the grandchild, that I was going to write this for the grandchild so he'd know his mom. And he asked us to please share this story with the public. And the reason for that is, as an oncologist, he deals with very difficult situations, and the toughest thing for him to provide to his patients is hope. And this story does provide that. So we decided to take the story public, worked on it for a number of years, and tried to balance out all of the oh my God moments with some humor and that type of thing.
With us on the program, Michael Schnabel. If you're Googling, and his website is authormichaelschnabel.com, that's S-C-H-N-A-B-E-L. And the book available, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. AuthorMichaelSchnabel.com is his website. Link on from our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So much you talked about there. The doctor, as you're getting this great news, basically Stephanie is told by the doctor, go live your life. I really don't need to see you again. Go enjoy your life. You're thanking him, and he stresses he's only a small part of the survivor's story here, telling you that it was the family, ongoing support, and the belief that she had in the battle that she was going to win it that were critical. That's so important to so many people. The doctor is saying, I had a small part, but you and Stephanie and those around you, you played a major role in her survival. Talk about the impact that made on you.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because in the beginning, diagnosis, we really didn't know what to do. And I've got a background in 30 years in pharmaceuticals. My wife is a registered nurse. So we were used to being around medical professionals and kind of knew how hospital systems and doctors acted and worked. But even with that, we felt alone. And then it really kind of touched me that night that we were all impacted by this, but no one more than my daughter. And if you kind of think of the example of a bully, if a bully's in front of you and you have fear, the worst thing that you can be is stand there alone. And so that night we went ahead and formed a team, and our team was just made a really simple decision. We were going to be with her. She would never be alone. We were going to help her any way that we could. We promised we'd get her to the best physicians we could find, the best clinics that we could use, and that she would never be alone in this, and we'd help her on the way. And then we made a pact with her and said, you're going to survive this. We're going to help you survive this. And you need to do your part. Tonight, you can go ahead and throw things, get angry, do whatever you want. But tomorrow, you need to start fighting for your life. So I think that's what the doctor was alluding to. We really were with her throughout this. And because of that, when she was down, one of us wasn't. And with five different people in the team, my wife, my daughter, her husband, Mark, my wife, Glenn, as I mentioned, myself, and this newborn child. And the five of us together took on everything. And so we shared the load, we shared the fear, we talked to each other, but more than anything, we really shared our love. And I've always been a tight-knit family, and I'm just so fortunate. The other thing that surprised me was the amount of faith that we had. We've always been a faithful family, but it's never been tested like that. You really don't know what your faith is until it is tested. So I think when the doctor kept seeing us show up, we made 17 visits to the Mayo Clinic. Every time we showed up, there were five of us. And he started laughing, and he says, you don't be here. And I think that he's just referring to the support. And it was great to hear, but we felt that. We were doing everything that we could to spend every minute with our daughter, and we didn't take life for granted anymore and did everything that we could to help her.
Tell me about the role that Caden, the baby, played in this, because you talk like he was an important part of the team. We're not just throwing his name in there. He was an important part of that. Talk about the encouragement you got from just looking at that little guy.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie started having some problems in her second trimester, and so we knew something was going on, but they couldn't do the invasive testing they needed to find out. And so we ended up taking the baby a month early, so he was premature. And this baby was just, I'm going to sound like a grandfather here. The baby was perfect. And this child really created an escape for us. And we didn't see that. You know, in the beginning, it was like, oh, my goodness, we have this newborn. We have a preemie. Fortunately, my wife is a pediatric nurse. And so she could help us find our way through that. But the child was always there and devoid of any of the stress and the problems and the awareness that of what was going on around us. So when we would pick him up to change him or play with him or get up in the middle of the night, it was really a positive thing. He was an oasis that we could kind of escape to. And so it's funny now, he's 17 and he has gone through the book. He's read through the book. His mother actually read it to him. It was a very, very bonding experience. And every once in a while when he's in trouble or she gets a little angry with him, he'll remind her that he really saved her life.
That always comes back. There's nothing wrong with that. Good for Caden to use it to his advantage. The book is called Daddy's Girl, A Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle That She Won by Michael Schnabel. His book is available wherever books are sold. Author Michael Schnabel is his website. Information there. Great pictures there. We're showing some of the video portion of the interview. You'll get information on Michael, Stephanie, Caden, how the family is doing now, and order the book there as well. Talk about that moment, and you describe it in the book, where Stephanie turns from a victim, which didn't last very long, to a warrior. And talk about that attitude. And sometimes you go through this and doctors will explain, here's what we would like to do with the chemotherapy, the radiation. And sometimes people are reluctant to go all the way. She wanted the most aggressive form. She won it. She was really determined to win this battle. Talk about the role that played in getting you and the rest of the family through these very difficult times.
Well, you did a great job of summarizing it. And the fact is that first night, none of us knew what was going on. None of us knew what to do. And we were all in shock and we were just standing there and didn't even know what to do to comfort each other. And my business experience has always showed me that you shouldn't spend time wasting time about getting dramatic or worrying about a problem. You need to go ahead and put together a plan to overcome it. And that's what we did that night. We formed that team. And one of the things that I said to her was that tomorrow you need to start fighting for your life. And it was a turning point for us because we stood together. We made it. We were determined to save her life and do everything that we possibly could. And in the middle of that, she asked me, "Dad, am I going to die?" And that was probably the most difficult moment I've ever faced in my life.
Yes.
Because what does a father say? Stephanie and I are incredibly close. She is a daddy's girl. And we've always been honest with each other. And so I told her the truth. I really didn't know. And that was difficult, but she knew that. She knew it was the truth, and that was what we had to hear. The next morning, then she had surgery the next morning, and she started fighting for her life. And it was just incredible. I think, Rick, you know, it's interesting because I think when we talk about fighting for something, we can fight for ourselves to some degree, but if we have a cause that's bigger than us, I think oftentimes it brings out the best in us. And I think that's what happened with Stephanie. She never balked at anything the doctor said. If they said this is necessary, she was doing it. If it was a surgery, she was doing it. She took the most aggressive therapy in chemotherapy. She went through several rounds. Anytime the doctors wanted to try something, she was all in, and she just felt like, in the beginning, honestly, she was scared of the chemotherapy, and then she changed her mind, and she just went ahead and said, this is a tool that I can use to fight this and to go ahead and survive. And the other thing that really drove us beyond the love of our family, which was very strong, and the closeness of our family, was our faith. And Stephanie is a believer, we all are, and in our family, but you don't know how strong your faith is until it's tested. And that's what I was amazed at. I was amazed how strong our faith was. This wasn't just a one-time thing that we had one problem that first day. There were other things that came on as during her struggle for that 3.5 years. There were a couple of times that we ended up going to the nursing, or excuse me, to the ER. I almost put her in a nursing home there. I'm sorry. We went to the ER, and at that time, each time we went, once with a blood clot, once with sepsis. We were told that if we had gotten there a few hours later, 3-4 hours later, they would have lost her. And so she was that close to death. And that really shook us until we started really thinking about that. And instead of being upset that she was so close to death, we started being thankful for the fact that we got to the ER in time to save her. And I think you take a look at your attitude, you take a look at what your belief system is, and those are the things that we all relied on, but no one more than Stephanie. And Stephanie was a warrior. I mean, she was a victim that first night, but very quickly became a warrior to save her life and to live to see this child take his first steps, go to school, those types of things, everything that a mom thinks about when they have a newborn. And she made it easier for us. We ran into other families that didn't happen, that the patient wasn't willing to do things, that the patient wasn't willing to fight and wanted to give up. And Stephanie never did that. She always took the tough road. She was young, and the doctors told her, because of that, we're going to go with a more aggressive therapy. She says, "I'm all in. Let's do it."
You know, it's interesting because as I'm reading the book, she never was, and the family was never was, oh, why me? Sometimes that tests your faith because you think, I've done everything right in my life. I'm a believer. And now, why is this happening to me? And I think that goes back to what you said in the beginning with this business background. You don't react. You get a game plan and you go forward and you focus on going forward. How difficult was that to maintain that during the ups and downs that you talk about?
Well, I will tell you, we certainly had our down times. We had our difficult times. The fact is, again, the team helped us because seldomly were we all in the same place at the same time. We all took over a leadership role. And so if someone was struggling and someone needed some time to get away and take a walk or whatever, we could allow them to do that and other people would step into that leadership role. And I think that the team helped itself as much as we helped our daughter. But there were very, very difficult times. And some of that's captured in the book. I had to be careful because the first time I wrote it to my grandson, it was an oh my God book. I mean, there wasn't a lot of great stuff in it.
Yes.
It was a lot of difficulties. And so I came, went back to my, I went back, and one thing we were doing with Stephanie is we were trying to surround her with things she loved, her favorite foods, her favorite movies, funny things, you know, trying to go ahead and keep us all uplifted. And it's funny because we were able to go ahead and save each other along the way, as well as our daughter. And I think in many ways, she saved us.
With us on the program, Michael Schnabel, that's S-C-H-N-A-B-E-L. The book is Daddy's Girl, A Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle She Won. We're going to take a brief break, much more to talk about on today's This Week in America. Michael's book, by the way, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the website, author MichaelSchnabel.com. We're back on today's program right after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, Michael Schnabel, our guest on the program, talking about his memoir, Daddy's Girl, A Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle She Won. The book, by the way, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Michael, what do you hope the reaction is? The response, the book just released, and the response has been fantastic, and everybody encouraged, inspired, and high praise for the book. What do you hope that the takeaway is? What do you hope a reader gets after reading Daddy's Girl?
That's a great question. When our motivation earlier was just to go ahead and record what happened for my grandson, it changed as we took a look at sharing this book with the public. We wanted to go ahead and provide hope for others that are in crisis, but not only that, there's a lot that's in the book that talks about just daily life. You know, I passed on life lessons to my grandson. We talked about the difficult things that we went through, and we tried to put positive spins on things. We didn't lie about anything. We didn't cover it up. We didn't make it sugar-coated, but we tried to approach everything in a positive light. And I think that we've left a trail that other people can go ahead and follow. When that first night, we, even with our medical background, even with the resources that we had no idea what to do. And as we've joined different cancer groups, that is something that we hear repeated over and over and over again. And so I've tried to put a spin on things where if we ran into difficult times, we ran into oncologists that didn't fit, that didn't work. We ran into medical centers that didn't fit and didn't work for us. But that didn't mean that they were bad places. It just wasn't a good fit for us. And so we talk about how you find the right medical group, how you find your way through this maze. And so much of it is just by your love. The love that you've got for the individual that you're helping, the love that you've got to go ahead and try and continue to live. And so I hope that when people read this, they have an opportunity to learn some things, but they also have an opportunity to see a very good example of our faith and work and of never giving up. And so I think it'll boost people's hope. I think it'll boost their faith. And I think that they'll enjoy the book, to be honest with you. I think it's a slice of life. It isn't divisive as we see so many things in this world right now. It's the opposite of that. It's really bringing people together. And the professional book reviewers have caught on to that, and I've been getting really good reviews, which is really nice. But we want to help people. It's as simple as that.
Well, you do that all through the book, but in particular at the end, you have a comprehensive plan to overcome a medical challenge, and you lay it all out there. And this is not based on some theory you have. You've been through this. You know what works, what doesn't work, what keeps you up, what brings you up when you go through those difficult times, and that's included in the book, Daddy's Girl, A Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle She Won. From your standpoint, what was it like going back and retelling the story? Were there parts of it that were really difficult because you lived through those and you weren't sure what the outcome was going to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. As I mentioned, we knew that Stephanie was cured at about 3.5 years. At about the fifth year, that's when we started writing the book. And I say we because my daughter helped me get everything from her journals as well as my journals, get them in, you know, kind of tried to go ahead and coordinate them, get them in the right order and things like that. And that was very difficult for us, but it was just also really wonderful for us because there were things that happened along the way that we didn't share. There were, I don't want to say they were secrets, but there were things that happened that we felt that we didn't think was positive to share with the rest of the group. And it really gave us an opportunity to revisit some of these things as we went by this, through this day by day. There were tears in many days. In fact, there were tears most days. But it was such a bonding experience again for my daughter and myself. And it was wonderful because we laughed, we cried, there were so many emotions, and it took us a while to go ahead and put all this information together. It's still difficult. There are times that I will go ahead and read different things and I'll get a tear in my eye, and she's the same way. But it's something that we're very willing to go ahead and go through and share. My closest friends keep saying, "Why do you keep working on this? You're driving yourself crazy." Well, it's beyond us, I think. I think that this is a story that needs to be told, and we wanted to share it. So it's been positive for us, much more than negative.
Well, it's a story that needs to be told, and it's been told well. We feel like we're part of the family going through everything that you were going through. We're there with you because of the job you do and the vivid descriptions and the ups and the downs, and celebrating with you at the end. And again, the book is available wherever books are sold. If you're just joining us on the program, this is the story of a family facing the most daunting of circumstances and emotions, if you can imagine this, celebrating the birth of Stephanie's only child, Michael's grandson. 14 days later, her diagnosis of colon cancer with an 8% chance to live. And everybody is doing great today. And if you go to our website and go to YouTube, or just go to YouTube, Google this, you'll see some pictures that you'll also find on Michael's website, Stephanie and Michael, 2 weeks after the colon resection. With her dad, the two of them celebrating 5 years of living cancer-free at Disney. And Stephanie, her husband Mark, and Caden is a fifth birthday at Orlando. And there are many more pictures on the website there as well. Talk a little bit about what you're going to do next. You're a talented writer. You were able to bring the skills back to do this. And I understand you're working on maybe a business-oriented book, possibly?
Yes. Let me clarify one thing, Rick. The book is going to be in the publishing date is actually March 23rd. So it's available right now, as you said, from all of these different places for pre-order. But the publication date will be on March 23rd okay. for the book. And then the ebook, it was actually available in this next week on the 7th. So I just want to make sure people aren't frustrated by not finding it out or seeing that it's a pre-order. Now, to answer your question, yeah, I have really enjoyed the writing and this experience. It's been difficult at times, but overall I've enjoyed it. And I mentioned earlier that at 3.5 years, when we found out she was okay, and then we didn't start writing the book till 5 years. So I was kind of antsy to do something. I've got my time has taken in other things, but I wanted to try my hand at writing, and I started writing a book about sales. I used to teach sales at the pharmaceutical company that I've worked with, and I was in the training department. And one thing that I learned is that when you're teaching someone, you want to try to tell a story, you want to try and touch all the emotions, and you want them to learn something. And so that's what I'm trying to do with the sales book. It'll be something that'll be more of a story than a, these are the five things that you need to do.
Got a couple minutes left. I want to talk about one facet. There's so many in the book, but the waiting room is one of those examples where you run the gamut of emotions there, don't you? Sometimes you're high, you're low, you've got so many things going on. Talk about that, because the waiting room, any idea how many hundreds of hours you spent in a waiting room?
Yeah, I don't know, but it was a lot. There was a lot. You know, we actually coined a phrase, behind the door syndrome. And I mentioned that in the book because we've all been through the experience in a doctor's office where you're in the waiting room and then you're finally taken back and you go behind that exam room door. They close it and you sit there and you wait.
Yes.
And it just gives your mind free time to go wherever. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Again, it was very helpful for us all to be together, but we didn't know. There were times that we really felt everything was going smoothly, and when the physician came in, we had difficult news to deal with. There are other times that we thought things were rocky, and the physician came in and gave us good news. And so it was that unknown, that fear, that again, we all faced together, which helped us so much.
How is the family? You alluded to this before. How is Stephanie and Mark and Caden doing now?
We're all doing very well. Thank you for asking. Stephanie is back to doing some part-time teaching, and she's a sub. Caden is doing great. He's 17 years old, does wonderful in school. He's just a great kid, like every grandparent thinks. And he's actually plays soccer at a national level. Mark's doing great with his career in architecture, and my wife and I are kind of retired, but we keep awful, awful busy.
Well, and you are with this book. And again, I want to go back to something we mentioned in the early part of the interview when the doctor at Mayo visiting you and says to Stephanie, go away, enjoy life. You were praising him for what he did. He talked about the importance of family, ongoing support, and the belief that Stephanie had that she was going to beat this battle. And talk about uphill battle, you've got like an 8% chance of survival. I think that's so important, and one of the many inspirational points that people will take away from reading Daddy's Girl. There is so much there. Medical's part of it, but family and faith is a big part of it as well. And you know that firsthand. You were through it, weren't you?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience as we look back. Actually, when we left the Mayo Clinic for the last time, we walked out the door and we're on the parking lot. And I turned to my daughter and I said, hey, if you had to do this all over, would you do it? And she thought for a minute and she said, yeah, Dad, I would. And I says, why? And she said, because it made me who I am today. And I think that you look at this journey, and it was difficult. It was we met some incredible people along the way. We had so much help from so many different people around us, not only the physicians and the nurses, but friends, people that wanted to help, and they helped in so many different ways. And so what I really hope for out of this book is that people can learn some things to where when they face a difficulty, and it seems like in this day and age, everybody's facing difficulty, that there's some life lessons in there that they can go ahead and put to use to make their life better.
Her journey will impact so many more. The role of the team of five will impact so many people. It's a powerful, inspirational book. The book is Daddy's Girl, A Father, His Daughter, and the Deadly Battle She Won by Michael Schnabel, our guest on the program. That's Schnabel. His website is authormichaelschnabel.com. Book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Michael, a pleasure having you on the program. Tremendous job in writing this book, in sharing the story. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Oh, Rick, I so much appreciate you helping me to get the information out to people. I'm hoping that some people that need it will see it.
And the book is available, again, wherever books are sold or will be very shortly. They will take an order. You can get signed up so you get the book when it's published. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly to Michael's website. You are listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.